The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Tom Robinson at KSOM in Atlantic and Aaron Summers at the Pocahontas Record Democrat. Tom, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
I will, Senator Grassley. Thank you. The three Republican candidates running in the 3rd Congressional District here in Southwest Iowa, they raised some concerns about sending U.S. aid to the Ukraine. And two of them kind of balked the idea because they think we should pay more attention to the border, and one felt it was Americans' duty to send that aid to Ukraine. What is your thought on that?
My thought is that we ought to be able to chew gum and walk at the same time. We need to protect our border with the same concern that we're concerned about Russia violating the sovereignty of any country, let alone one that wasn't a threat to them, Ukraine. Both are pretty sound principles. One is a president that's not enforcing the rule of law by people crossing our borders and, in fact, inviting them in. He's not enforcing the law, and we have laws you can't enter the country without our permission. And we're a very inviting nation because about 1 million people come here every year legally, according to our laws. The same principle holds for the rule of law, because in 1994, Russia, the United States, Germany, and England, I believe it was, those four countries signed an agreement to honor the sovereignty of Ukraine if Ukraine would give up its nuclear weapons. They gave them up, and Russia violated that Budapest Agreement. So if you believe in the rule of law, whether it's at the southern border or the rule of law under the Budapest Agreement or the United Nations Charter, that sovereignty of nations ought to be respected, just like the sovereignty of the United States ought to be respected, because if you don't control your borders, you aren't a sovereign nation. If you believe in those things, you would support both. Aaron.
Thank you. I was wondering if you could give us an update on the status of the meatpacking plant investigation. And Bill, I know there was the hearing a couple of weeks ago, but just how are things progressing on that?
Well, our legislation, I think, is going to move along to the Senate floor in a couple weeks when we have a meeting of the Agriculture Committee. So I think that everything points to the movement of our legislation. Will it get done before the end of the year? I guess I can't promise that because a Democrat set the agenda for the United States Senate, but I'm told by the Secretary of or the Senate Chairman of the Committee, Debbie Stabenow, that Schumer does want to move it. So with that in mind, I think I feel pretty good about it. And our investigations, my investigations are pretty much tied to this legislation. Now you may be also asking about what the Department of Justice. When we wrote a letter to them to check on the antitrust laws being violated, or with the Department of Agriculture, what they might be violating of the Packers and Stockyards Act, I don't have any update on that because we haven't heard anything. Back to Tom.
Yes, Senator, the U.S. Department of Agriculture nominated Alexis Taylor, an Iowa State University graduate who grew up on a family farm in rural Iowa, to serve as the undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agricultural Affairs. Can you comment on that? She's a rural family farm from rural Iowa. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, I want to comment on it, but I have to ask you a question. I heard that she was going to be undersecretary for the Department of Commerce, and I think you said agriculture.
Yeah, let's see. Actually, undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agricultural Affairs is what I got in the news release.
Does it? What department of the cabinet?
Yeah, U.S. Department of Agriculture nominating Alexis Taylor,
Okay, well, I got to correct your previous interview because I said it was the Department of Commerce. But regardless, she's well qualified to do it, and I will be supporting her nomination. And it's about time that this administration is starting to pay some attention to agriculture and fill some of these vacancies. There's still a vacancy in the Special Trade Representative office for Agriculture Ambassador. That hasn't been filled yet. And here we are, a year and a half into this new administration, and they're just beginning to focus on agriculture and some of the most important positions in the Department of Agriculture, as well as Special Trade Representative, which they haven't gotten to yet. Aaron.
Thank you. What can Congress be doing to address the infant formula shortage right now?
Well, the shortage of baby formula has to be tackled with, first of all, getting the Abbott plant in Michigan up and running. It's got to be some more is going to have to be imported, and they need to move very quickly on this because these mothers are panicking, and legitimately so. Because not having the diets that kids need at this very early age has consequences down the road as they grow older. So it's very important that this stuff be available on a regular basis. I sent a letter to the FDA on this subject. After my letter, the FDA answered new steps to expand access. Back to Tom.
Yes, Senator, if I could follow up, what is causing that shortage?
Well, I think the big part of it is the Abbott plant being shut down by the FDA about a month or 6 weeks ago, and FDA not following up with it and working with Abbott to get it up and running. Aaron?
Sure. Sorry, I lost my spot there for a second. Has there been any progress on securing more funding to help with the bird flu outbreak?
Well, the answer is we have to give more funding, but it's just a kind of a case that we don't have the problems that we had 6 or 7 years ago when it was a big deal. Nobody had dealt with a big, massive problem like that in the past. How much to pay, who to pay, when to pay, as well as what to do with the dead birds, what to do with protocols to see that it can't spread. I think a lot was learned from the 2015 incident, and things are running pretty smoothly now, even though I think 19 million birds had died, or maybe it's 13 million birds in 19 counties. I forget just exactly the number or the number of counties. You can look that up if you want that. But the letter, and then I led a letter calling on appropriators to prioritize funding for it. But that doesn't mean that there's a special problem with this program, because the laws are on the books of when and who and how much to reimburse people that have been hurt by the tragedy. And it's just a matter of the funds being available to pay out under the law that exists already, the same way that for natural disasters, FEMA has a certain amount of money that, and when it runs out, we replenish it. So if this money runs out, we want to make sure it's available to keep feeding, keep paying the farmers that have been hurt. Tom?
Yes, sir. Senator, I know you are part of a group that is asking and demanding answers on overdue return to work plan. Can you talk about your concerns? And I know this was late last week. Have you received any feedback on this yet?
I have not heard any feedback yet on that subject, but I do have the federal government is going to be more efficient if people show up at the office. And there's still a large portion that are still out. And I think that there's some feeling that that's okay forever. I don't think so. I think people ought to be in the office working. But I don't have an answer yet. This is the last question, Aaron.
Thank you. I was wondering if you had any comment you would like to make on any consequences for the leak of the draft Supreme Court opinion. If the leaker can be, you know, discovered, if we know who that is, what sort of consequences, you know, should be handed out for that?
Well, the leak is a very dramatic and monumental happening in the Supreme Court. Never has a document been leaked. There's been some leakage over time of some indication a little ahead of time of how the case might go, but not the reasoning behind the case. This is the first time a document's been leaked. And the consequences have to be great because the credibility of the Supreme Court is hurt. And maybe then the confidence of one justice towards another justice may be hurt as a result of it. I think they know each other well enough that that shouldn't happen, but I guess it's right for us to speculate that you might be a little less trusting of each other as a result of it. So I don't know whether there's a criminal law that's been violated. If it is, that person should be prosecuted. I haven't heard a definitive answer on that yet, but for sure the person has a law degree from a very prestigious university, at least most of them do, and as a result, I think that person's going to be debarred for the rest of their life, never being able to practice law. So it's too bad. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Tom and Aaron, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.